With God, all things are possible.
This is episode 319 on the Hidden Why podcast. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for taking the time out to tune in to today's episode. My name's Lee Manuzzi, the Hidden Why guy here at the Hidden Why. I'm all about inspiring you guys to live your life with greater passion and purpose. And to do that, first, I believe we need to connect with our why. Use that to define our life compass so we can navigate our way through this life with greater purpose towards living life with more freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. That's what it's all about for me, and that's what I want for you guys as well. Each week, I bring you some inspiring interviews I've done with some guests, and today is of no exception. I have Teresa Vigorino on the show. Teresa Vigorino. She is known as the Soul Essence Alchemist. She's an author and speaker, and she's all about clearing our consciousness and really healing the story that we tell ourselves. She believes that there's a lot of our subconscious behaviors and mindsets that influence us in both positive and negative ways. And if we can just only become aware of that more, perhaps we can influence and work to change these patterns so that we can live the life that we truly desire. So that's mostly what our conversation is about today. The subconscious mind awareness, you know, changing these behaviors, what we can do. She's got a couple of practices in this episode that she shares with us as well. So whether it's healing your relationships, finding more love, perhaps more money, it's all these things that there's something holding us back that's deeper within us. And we need to do the work to dig in deep and do the work to resolve heal that pain, heal that past and that suffering. Guys, it is a fantastic chat. We really enjoyed it. There's so much more that we could have talked about. Like in most of my episodes, we could talk for days. So perhaps we'll get Teresa back in for a round two at some time. I can't seem to get my words out right now. So I'm just going to throw you into the episode. Hope you enjoy it, guys. If you do, make sure you check out the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. Leave your thoughts and comments there as well for us. And reach out to Teresa. I'm sure she'd love to hear from you. As always, guys, if you love this show, please share it with your network for me, Facebook, Twitter, etc. And you can reach out to me at any time. My email address is available online at thehiddenwhy.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got feedbacks for the show or any questions that you might like to ask me personally, that would be awesome. So reach out to me, guys. Enjoy this one. And until the end, we'll catch you soon. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hidden Why podcast. I am pumped and excited. I've got Teresa Vigorino here with me. How are you, Teresa?
I'm doing fantastically. Thank you for having me on your awesome show. I'm so privileged to be here with you today.
Hey, I'm pumped up. I can feel your energy across the line here, even though we're worlds apart, but I can certainly feel your energy, and I'm just looking forward to the chat today. So thanks for taking the time out to join us.
My pleasure.
So tell us, I've given you a bit of an introduction from the bio here that I've got in the pre-interview, but tell us a little bit about yourself and what you currently do.
Awesome. So right now I'm living in the San Francisco Bay Area with my new husband, and my new husband, we just got married October 1st, 2016. So we're newlyweds at middle age, which I got to tell you is super fun and really wonderful, actually. And, you know, all of those bumps and bruises we both got along the way in our lives and healed our lives to where we could attract and find a fantastic mate that we're on this journey together. So, and I work with women and men. More men are coming to me. A lot of relationship pattern healing. You know, what I found out through my own life story from 30 years of study and being mentored by some of the greats that I'm just like, it was miraculous how these people have come into my life to mentor me. I quickly understood that most people, like 99% of the world, I would say, live their life in certain areas of their life by repeating patterns.
Okay.
And I was doing that in my romantic life.
Yeah,
and I think everybody can in some area of your life. It's like it's showing up again and it's telling you, hey, you know, are you going to deal with this once and for all so that you can do something different? And that became my focus, really, the neuroscience for the past few years of teaching people about neural pathways, about how memories keep you maybe trapped in repeating things, and how fears show up, and really how we have so much power to be able to create what we want by understanding how our mind works.
Yeah.
So it's a really, really fabulous subject. They're coming out with more and more studies all the time. Stanford just came out with one that the subconscious mind literally drives 95% of the decisions we make in our life.
Isn't that crazy? It's amazing you bring that up. I'm writing a book right now, and I've just been writing a section in the book on that subconscious mind itself and how much of what we do in our life is controlled by that subconscious part that we just don't think about. So that's for people that are aware, aren't they? Really, 95%.
95% of what's showing up and not showing up, we can attribute to that part of our mind that most of us don't spend enough time getting to know.
Yeah. What do you think? So we're going to just go with the flow here, but
sure.
I hope I haven't interrupted your story too much, but.
No, that's all right.
I love this topic of the subconscious mind, and I've been researching, I've been really thinking about mine, and you know what my mind is doing behind the scenes that maybe isn't conducive to the path and the direction I want to take. And I just wonder how can we influence that more, and what is your sort of learnings, and what do you do to influence your subconscious?
Well, and really it's a day-to-day job, and it's really, you know, to thine own self be true. We really have to do the deep inner work. First it's obvious, you know, what is it that you want that you don't have? That's a clue that you've got a program running, like something you really want, you desire, and you've been trying, you know, you've tried everything, but it's just not happening. What you believe is going to be what you receive, but what we're dealing with in our conscious mind is very small compared to what's running in the background. So, you know, these programs that really begin early in life and become instilled over time, they control pretty much what's showing up and what's not showing up in your mind. And it's not to look at this part of your brain as, you know, the enemy. Remember, this part of the brain is also really in charge of survival. It's just antiquated 5-year-old perceptions that, you know, that we're living our life by, you know, fear of, and I believe a lot of it is fear-based, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of change, you know, all of these fears that keep us, you know, in our invisible boxes. It's really linked together that way.
I mean, I'm no expert, but as far as I understand that through evolution, you know, our brain developed. So we had those basic survival subconscious sort of behaviors that were just done instinctually. But then on top of that, we've grown the human brain, which has all these conditioned behaviors that work behind the scenes that we learnt some time ago that we just don't even know about. And we just do it subconsciously. Like I just think about the idea of, you know, thinking about standing up from your desk and sitting down, like we just don't, you know, we just don't think about that. There's no process there or no consciousness of doing that. We just go ahead and do it. Until you become sort of conscious, then that's when you can really start to assess, you know, those more deeper sort of internal subconscious minds that may be directing us in ways that we don't want to live our life.
It's true. And a lot of it, I believe, is, you know, this part of the brain is still trying to keep us safe. Right. But when I tell people, when I'm working with people, it's like, yes, we still need that. We have that sense of, you know, don't go over there. That seems dangerous down that dark alley or something. But where the fear really and these old patterns are lit up, literally, they will light up like a freeway. The lights and the triggers is, I believe that it's when it's keeping you from emotional pain, such as, you know, I really want to do this speech and, you know, get my message out there. But, oh my gosh, you know, you find every other reason not to do it. Well, that's the brain going, wait a minute. Remember that time when you were 6 and you got up on stage to do your speech and you forgot it, or, you know, you peed your pants or whatever it was. And so, and the fear was real or the embarrassment or whatever. And that memory that gets put in a place where, you know, it was, you know, depending on what you felt, the severity of what you felt, your brain is like, holy moly, we don't want to do that again, man. That was bad. So then you'll find, you know, oh yeah, I'm supposed to make those sales calls. Guess what? I have a headache. Or you find everything else to do. Yes.
And I must have had one of these patterns because I've got and I know public speaking, a lot of us have that fear. But I really had a fear for public speaking throughout my teenage years, you know, doing speaking presentations, etc. I just feared them. And perhaps there was something that happened earlier in my life that I can't really remember or can't connect with that sort of has built that fear. But it's interesting too, because I thrive on public speaking. I love it so much. And it's interesting how these things that are in our subconscious mind may be stopping us from really pursuing a path of more passion and beauty.
Oh, absolutely. And so awareness, as we know, is the first step. Always.
So what?
It's being aware of it.
How do we come? How does one become more aware of it, of whatever it is?
Well, it's the introspection. It's really being able to be the observer of your life and without judgment and like self-honesty, right? And so I tell people, you know, be the observer of your life, you know, and the thought patterns, because the thoughts bring about everything, right? So I tell people, be really aware of what you're thinking about. What are the negative thoughts that are coming in? What are the positive thoughts? Usually, you know, there's more negative than positive unless we're deliberately changing our mind to change our life. And, you know, I'm talking about when you're trying to face a fear, right? So let's use relationships, because that's really, you know, where I started with my business. First, it was overcoming trauma, and then it was relationships and people that were getting themselves, you know, in one relationship after another and not working out, and the, you know, cycle repeating itself, the same kind of person, because that's what they were used to, right? People do what they're used to because the brain says, this is familiar, this is safe, I know how to do this, even though it's an alcoholic. I've done this before. I've done this since childhood. I've managed my life, you know, and this is just an example that happens. Or maybe it's you're repeating a cycle of you're in a relationship with somebody that's just not emotionally available or connected to you. But when you are the observer and you can say, wow, that's shown up in every single relationship. That started in a relationship with a parent, and that was what was modeled to me, and I have been reliving this ever since. So, you know, it's an example of how you can look at your life and say, wow, I've really been creating the same scenario over and over again. None of us are victims. As children, yes, but as adults, we're not victims. We are just living out the brain patterns of what we're used to.
Well, we might be victim to our own mind, wouldn't we?
We are victim to our own mind.
Yeah.
But you know, when absolutely, but we've got to take the power back from our own story is what I say, and really become focused on the possibilities and about healing those patterns. And it's really about healing the patterns, because once you do that, once you have the awareness, once you see the pattern that's been showing up, and it could be work related, it could be anything, right? And this work that I do is universal for every area of your life.
So how do we go about healing these patterns? Talk to us through that process.
Okay, so, you know, a lot of times I use my life story as an example because I know it the best. And it's such an extreme example. And, you know, I tell people, you don't have to have the trauma in your life or the extremes that I've had in my life. I just use these examples of my story because it really shows the clear picture. So I was raised in a very violent home, a very dysfunctional home, a lot of abuse. And from an early age, I knew I didn't want to be an abuser, but I was a victim of abuse. And so unknowingly, I had the mindset that I was a victim. And so, you know, all through my childhood, of course, all the kids were. But then as an adult, because I had this pattern, this belief system, and this history of being victimized, and I knew how to do that, what do you think was showing up in my life? The perfect counterpart. And so it was various forms of abuse over the course of my young adult life, and, you know, with relationships, with friendships, you know, with ex-husbands, you know, I had a couple of kids I was raising, but I couldn't understand, Lee, for the life of me, why negativity was showing up in my life. I had been a spiritualist since I was 5 years old. I had been on the emotional healing journey since I was 17 years old. What was missing was I was unaware that I had a belief system and the model of what I experienced of this is how it was supposed to be. So I was recreating it in my life unknowingly. I wasn't running around. It's so crazy. I'm a smart person and I was drawing this to myself until I finally got hit over the head with a 2x4, you know, metaphorically, and had a really terrible experience. Yeah, thankfully. And I was like, Teresa, you got to take some stock and ownership over your life. And that was when I changed my mind that I was going to have the life I wanted or I was going to die trying.
Yeah, okay. I like it. I want to jump into that. I just watched a movie recently about a young black boy who grew up in the States, and you know, grew up with a mother who was a drug addict and had no father, and just had an interesting life. But he was always, you know, talked, you know, people just called him gay and all that sort of stuff. And it was interesting how he carried that with him unknowingly almost. You could, it was a really well done movie. And into his adulthood, he still had this thought that he was a gay man, even though he really wasn't, from, you know, from at least my perspective anyway. But it was just that subconscious, because he was told it and he was treated like that throughout his childhood, that it just grew up with him into that adulthood. And it caused him a lot of suffering on the way. It was really fascinating. But those are the you know, the conditioned behaviours and subconscious sort of behaviours, I guess, that can build up within us, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? And it's all from the perception of, you know, most of these patterns that we're talking about now begin very early in life. And they don't have to be something so tragic, right? It could be something, you know, maybe a parent, well, this is tragic, a parent passing away. Maybe it's divorce. Maybe it's, you know, a dad that was just working his rear end off providing for the family, but that, you know, the children grew up feeling maybe not as wanted because the dad was tired when he came home. Do you know what I mean? It's like it sets this up for the perception of a child's mind.
And that's why we're all so just fascinatingly different as well, because, you know, the circumstances for each of us are just so different. Even though we might have both had parents that, you know, fathers worked hard and the mothers were always at home or something like that, the environments that we were in and the schooling that we had just adds the complexity to it. So it's really fascinating stuff. What do we do? Well, firstly, how do we find out what these patterns are that are blocking us? Like you said, you know, you just made the choice to show up and do whatever you could to live a more positive life, no matter what. But how do we discover, how do we figure out what these patterns are that are holding us back? Because I know that there's things that are in my life that hold me back that, you know, just obstacles that seem to keep being there, and it's hard to try and figure out those patterns. What are
it
your
is
practices?
It's work, and so, you know,
that's the key word, work. Yeah,
it's work, and you know what? But what a journey! There's nothing more important than self-evolvement and self-enlightenment, and I think that's why we're here. I know that's why we're here, is to evolve and enlighten our lives.
Yeah.
So for me, it's you know, what is it that you don't have in your life is the first clue. What is it that you want, that you're striving for, that's not showing up?
But if we look at that, and I mean, because there's a lot of maybe egotistical sort of things that we want that come into the picture, like I really want a nice car, or I really want, you know, more money, because money's a problem in my life. I mean, there's lots of things that are probably common among us all. I want more love, you know, things like that.
Yes. Well, that's it. I'm talking about the deep, you know, there's three big areas, right? We want great health, we want abundance, and we want love. We want our career to be abundant, right? Whatever that passion is that we're striving for. So I'm talking about the big ones here. You know, is it that you want more love in your life? Well, do you have a pattern of not being able to receive love? You know, and where did that start? You always have to go back into the beginning, in my opinion. So it's really broad. If you want to work on something specific, we can do that right now.
Let's just talk about, you know, something that's quite common. It's going to be in one of those three areas, so health, money, or career, or love, that people can relate to.
Let's talk about love. Talk about love.
That's good.
So again, I'll go back to my example, because I had this mindset that I was a victim, and I had this pattern of what was modeled to me, which was abuse. I was the perfect counterpart to draw in abusers in my life.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I realized, wow, you know, I'm just keep, you know, doing this, and it's, what is it about me that is, number one, attracted to somebody like this? Because it's not like they were running around with, you know, hey, I'm going to abuse you 6 months in signs. You know what I mean? It's like it would come over time and I wouldn't know it. But it was when I discovered by my work, when I was being mentored by this wonderful neuroscientist, that I had this belief system of, number one, that's how it's supposed to be, because that's how I lived. And my brain was wanting to recreate what it was used to.
Uh-huh.
What I've done before, what, you know, I had the muscle for that, right? I knew how to deal with that. I knew how to manage that. Already done it. You know, for the brain to say, let's do something different, that's scarier to the brain, because, you know, that's like uncharted waters.
Yeah, well, like, if I always think about
There could be a saber tooth around the corner. You know, don't do that.
Yeah, I think about it, the habits, you know, like our brain's designed so we can use less energy to process new things. And so those things that are well built within our subconscious mind, it's just a way to, for me, it seems to be a way to save energy. Just do this because that's what you know and that's going to save you energy and you can do other things then.
And here's the thing about neural pathways, which, you know, is what we're talking about, these brain patterns. Your brain will not give up a pattern it already has, a neural pathway, unless it has another one that you're building.
Yeah.
So in order to quiet those brain patterns down, so I had to start believing that, you know, in the possibility of having a great relationship. I had to start believing that I was worthy. I had to understand that I believed that I had been a victim. And when that came to my awareness that I believed I was a victim in my subconscious mind, it was like instant. It didn't take long where all of a sudden was, wow, that's what I've been doing. The minute that I had the awareness of it, things were going a different direction for me.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was able to, you know, say, hey, wait a minute now. The way the brain works so hard for us, by the way, what we believe will become our reality because we have a belief system in our brain to match that, you know, conscious belief. When we can create that neural pathway, our life will show evidence of it. Mm. That subconscious mind will work double time. So obviously when I'm working with clients, I have lots of exercises and techniques and things that we do to create those belief systems. And as you're trying to create a new one, the old one's going to be going, wait a minute now, what about over here? Remember when you got your hopes up last time? You better not.
Mm, yeah.
You don't want to get hurt again.
Yeah, and I think that's probably part of the reason why a lot of people, you know, revert back to the old behaviors. They've made the change, but it just seems like the results aren't coming because, you know, these pathways take time to build up generally.
They absolutely do.
And it's so easy to just fall back into those old patterns. And, you know, I'm guilty of that myself. And I know a lot of people are. How do we know what sort of positive sort of thoughts to create based on those limitations?
Okay. So the way that I,
so first of all,
taught...
if I say I want more love in my life, so let's say that love isn't in my life, and I can actually relate to this. When I was in my younger 20s, I didn't have much love in my life other than my immediate family, which have always been there, thankfully. I didn't have, you know, the girlfriend, and I always wanted love, and I thought that was the most critical thing, and it seemed like it was going on for years and years, and it probably was, to be honest. But
yes,
I wanted that love in my life, but I didn't know how to look at that and find out what the limiting belief or behavior was. That's just the life I was living in, and no matter what I tried to do, I just couldn't seem to make the right connections or find the right, you know, people or scenes to be in and girls to hang around. And it just wasn't happening for me. It did happen eventually, but not because I don't know, it just happened.
So were you drawing in the same situation over and over again? Were you able to, you know, I would have said to you, you know, take a step away from your life and look at it like it's like an observer.
Yeah. Well,
showing up?
Yeah, I had no concept of awareness. I don't really, I haven't really thought about it either. I never reflected back on it. But there's probably some sort of thought there if I put my mind to it. But as an example, what would one do in that situation to say, well, that sounds like me. I want more love, you know, and I'm always trying to chase it, but can never seem to find it. You know, how do they find out the things that are stopping them, and do they just put positive thoughts in and start to believe that they're going to
first of all, I tell people you got to go in on believing that you can have it. First of all, I mean, without a doubt. And usually what happens is there'll be a thought that triggers the old pattern of it's hard to find love. That's a belief system.
Yeah.
Love isn't finding me. That's a belief system. That's a neural pathway if you've said it enough, right?
Yeah.
Or love is, you know, how am I ever going to find it? And there's all this doubt and negativity. And so that's an old story. That's actually a negative response to the trigger of I'm lonely. I want a relationship.
Yeah.
So what I help people do is to write a new story for their life, because what people don't realize, and I didn't realize, took me a long time until my late 30s to realize that I have so much power to create that of which I want to experience.
Mm.
You know, Einstein knew this. a lot of the great philosophers from old knew this, that we, you know, Ernest Holmes, one of my favorite writers that I'm reading right now, The Science of Mind, what a wonderful, wonderful thing to read. I highly recommend it. But just the power of what we believe inside of our minds, the what will show up in your reality. Yeah. And I know people don't believe that, but they're the ones that haven't found this to be a truth. It's a principle. It's a way of living.
Yeah.
And I promise you it works. Now, if you have a conflicting program, yeah, like you're saying, the positive affirmations, there's a reason why positive affirmations don't work. Mm. You have to do, it has to be deeper. So there's an exercise that I teach people. So I started to you know, allude to, you know, get a piece of paper out. I'm going to give your listeners an example right now of an exercise that's extremely powerful.
Cool. Yep.
So you just get a piece of paper, you make three columns on it, equally spaced columns, and then you do a horizontal line across the top, and we're going to name the three columns. The top left column is triggers.
Yep.
The center column is negative response, mm-hmm, / old story.
Yep.
And then the right column is ideal response / new story.
Yep.
And I'll use my example of when I had my last divorce, and it was a very bitter, bitter, bitter situation, and custody battles, and, you know, some legal things and some, you know, allegations, and all, it was just absolutely terrible. It took 10 years to get through. Yeah. And I was very upset because he had, you know, done some things that were very, very, very painful. And, you know, as we were going through this divorce process, and I was suffering with this autoimmune disease, and I was by myself raising the kids, and his life got better and better. And I was, for the first time in my life, actually very embittered with vengeance, and I couldn't get out of it. And it just kept me tied to the trauma of the event. And what I didn't realize at the time is, you know, as long as I focused on that, and I would get triggered, the guy lived 4 miles down the road, you know, plus we shared a son together, I was triggered all the time, and into that unforgiveness place, and into that, you know, woe is me, and the victimization again, and all of this. And, you know, when I learned about this worksheet here, it was really painful for me. My triggers could be, you know, I was at the grocery store, and someone said, hey, did you hear so-and-so's getting engaged? You know, he was getting engaged or whatever. And I would immediately go down that dark old story, that negative response of anger and grief and sadness and bitterness, and just so beside myself. Then I would have physical ramifications, and then I would get tired, and then I was depressed. You know, it was just like a rabbit hole that wouldn't end. And I did that for a long time until I learned that I had to deliberately create my new response I wanted to have, the new story I wanted to have from that specific trigger.
Yeah.
And it was really hard. And my mentor said, now, Teresa, it's going to be really hard. You're really upset. You've been upset about this for years. And I'm like, hell yeah. And he's like, it's going to be hard. I'm like, how in the world am I going to be able to like be triggered by this person and go to peace, which is what I wrote in my first word on that right column. My ideal response was going to be freedom, happiness in my own life, joy, trust, abundance, all of those things we all want.
Yeah.
I've done this over 5,000 times in the last couple of years with people, and the words in the right column are the same.
Mm.
No matter what the trigger is. So for my trigger, instead of, you know, going down that horrible, horrible negative road, I had to fight for it. And there was a little war going on inside my mind where, you know, I would have it was down to the nanosecond. So I'd get the trigger, and in that nanosecond, and I would have to talk to myself, and I'd have to write those words, and I have to look at those words. And in a short amount of time, because I worked at it very hard, I was really ready to be done with that story the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here's an inkling. When you've had enough, when you've had just about enough, then you'll double down on, you know, by God, I'm going to have peace in my life and harmony and love and abundance and a life purpose and passion. And I would just really choose it over and over and over again, sometimes 3 times a day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where the practice comes into it. And I think too, the awareness, you know, for me personally, it just allows me to appreciate that moment where I feel that emotional, that trigger that comes in. And just to be able to pause and say, hey, hang on, how do I want to deal with this? And, you know, it's, again, how we respond. So that sort of practice of mindfulness really helps us be able to do that in those moments.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be, sorry about that, it doesn't have to be so extreme. It could be, you know, a person that needs to make those, you know, outgoing sales calls.
Yeah.
And you're reluctant and fearful and all of this. So what's the trigger? The sales call. What's the old story? Scared, afraid of rejection, avoidance, denial. And then you feel, you know, you reject yourself. Then you feel bad and you're not making any money. You know what I mean? So, you know, then it gets worse. You know, that story goes on and on and on. So the ideal response would be, you know, I'm happy.
Sales call, happy results.
Yeah, happy, you know.
Great conversations.
Peacefulness, you know, relationship building, you know. So really the way that we can reframe, that's the technique that we're using here, reframing the story. Every life is just about stories, right? So the reframing process is crucial in changing your mindset, which I'm writing a book and doing a program called Miraculous Mindsets, Create a Life That'll Blow Your Mind. It really does boil down to that.
Yeah. No, I love this stuff. I think it's really important, and you've shared a lot as far as, you know, healing and just about changing those patterns, changing our mindset, changing our narrative, our self-narrative, and just keep on practicing, keep on working at it. It's so easy to do it a few times and then go, oh, this stuff doesn't work, and then you go back to your old sort of negative sort of outlook or focus.
And then you can pull yourself out again.
Yeah, you know? And you do
it's
that.
It's a never-ending journey, you know. We're all just practicing. All the time.
I used to get really, like, you know, dropping your phone and cracking the screen. I don't know why they designed these phones so easily to break. But anyway, I've cracked a few screens now.
Yes.
And it's just one of those stories which has come from this sort of practice of mindfulness and just knowing the inner dialogue and what sort of story is going on in there. It used to just upset me. Like, I used to get angry with it and think the world was going to end because I had to now, you know, fix my phone or buy a new one, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But it's interesting how things have evolved, and that's purely come from practice, whereas now I dropped it, you know, a few months ago, and I dropped it and I looked down and I thought, oh, bugger. I picked it up, sort of smiled at myself and walked inside and whistling.
And let me ask you a question. When you were dropping it frequently, were you, like, worried all the time that you were going to drop and break your phone?
I don't know.
Once
I guess, yeah, maybe... Maybe the first time I dropped, I think I dropped my iPad. Maybe the first time I did that, and then, you know, I was sort of telling the missus, and then there was the money thing. Oh, it's going to cost us money and blah, blah, blah. So maybe that instance made me worried about dropping it. And yeah, I don't know. I haven't seemed to drop. Maybe I have. I can't remember. I just really don't know. But it just doesn't bother me. Like, it's not the end of the world. And
then it just kind of dissipates. It's so, well, this is important what you're bringing up right now. Where we're deliberate, where we're powerful creators, even in what would look like the negative, right? And I had an experience where I hurt my neck really bad. I was living in Lake Tahoe. I hurt my neck. I sprained it. And it was really scary because I felt like when you hit your funny bone, only I felt it all over my spine. And it was really freaky. I just didn't like that feeling at all. And I became very worried of walking out of the house in the winter. I had a very icy driveway. And I would be like so worried about slipping and falling. I was so worried about hurting my neck. Guess what happened for the next 2 years? I had put out this energy and this thought about hurting my neck, hurting my neck, hurting my neck, hurting my neck. I had so many bizarre falls and accidents and car wrecks and ski wrecks. It was like I had a black cloud following me around, and I'm like, what in the hell's going on here? Now I can look back and say, my focus, what we focus on will be what expands. I focused so much during that time of hurting my neck and my neck being hurt that, you know, eventually I had a, you know, butt over tea kettle fall on the mountain on the skiing. And I like went down in the snowmobile. I mean, like I really hurt my neck. And it took a couple years for me to go to learn and understand that my focus was all about hurting my neck. Well, what showed up?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
And that's, I heard another book. I can't remember which one recently, but they were talking about, you know, successful, actually it was a podcast, I think, and talking about the successful people and how they're very much risk takers. Like they like to do really wild, adventurous things, like, you know, jumping out of planes or
I love jumping out of planes.
Just crazy stuff. Yeah, and it's about the, you know, facing the fear and not showing any fear to the risks that might be involved, and that allows them to take great risks in their business life as well.
Yes.
And there seems to be a really good connection with that. And that just fascinated me. It made me think about, you know, the things that I'm always fearful about, and it's about taking that risk, you know, and it, perhaps that's a little subconscious thing that affects my life. Well, it does. It obviously does.
It does. Absolutely.
And it's just, I just found that really fascinating. But yeah, we could talk along the lines of mindsets and beliefs for days, I reckon, Teresa. But let's jump into some quick round questions. I wanted to talk to you about making connections as well. We'll see if we get some time for that at the end. But let's get through some of these questions first for the audience. What routines and rituals do you believe contribute to your personal success?
I have a lot of routines and a lot of things that I do because I just have this surge of connection with the spirit realm and understanding about the mind. So I do a lot of study. I do a lot of the same work that I give people to do. I do a lot of my own personal, brain hacking with my belief systems that have been set in my life from very early. And so I do the same work that I teach anybody else. I discover what it is. I become very in tune with how my mind is working to the best of my ability. And it gets better and better the more we do this. And I create those new patterns for myself. I also am one of those people that believes in being comfortable in the uncomfortable. So I put myself out there a lot, including rock climbing.
Yeah.
You know, I have this autoimmune disease. I was told, you know, you're not going to live to be 40 when I was about 32, and I'm going to be 48 in a couple weeks. And I started rock climbing. And one of the things I'm doing is with my husband, I want to train to climb a big wall, which will be huge to be able to do. So when you do get comfortable in the uncomfortable, you just grow exponentially. So I do journaling. I do a lot of praying, a lot of meditating, a lot of reading, and a lot of embracing what I teach. I walk the walk.
Mm, yeah, lots to digest there, but certainly some very commonalities among a lot of people that I speak to is you know, the idea of, you know, growth and education and reading, certainly
yes.
with meditation. But I love the idea of, you know, just the practice of challenging yourself every day, putting yourself outside the comfort zone. I think that's really, really gold advice to give to
yes.
the people listening. What advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
I love this one. When I reread the questions today, I was like, what would I tell myself? You know what I would say? I would say, you are so valuable.
Hmm.
You are so worthy. You're very lovable. And you are here for a divine mission.
Yeah.
And so love your, you know, go easy and have some fun along the way, you know, trust in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
don't worry so much.
Don't think you need to know everything. Just relax and enjoy the ride.
Exactly.
What is your meaning of success?
My meaning of success is being in alignment with your soul's calling and living that, and spreading love.
Okay.
You know, loving one another. I mean, there's no greater mission than to spread love, to give love,
yeah.
and to be the example of a loving human being. And I really embrace that. That's truly a God gift. And I feel very blessed that I have love for my fellow human beings. A stranger is just somebody I haven't talked to yet. So I would say that's probably my superpower.
Okay. What you said, you know, being aligned with your soul, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What is the soul in your opinion? How can people connect with that?
Well, that's the deeper, that's the you behind the you, that's the self behind the self. That's the root of everything to me. And that is the place where there's that little piece of you that even the closest person in your life doesn't really have access to that part of you. That's just between you and your maker. And that's the part of you where you have something inside of you that you know that you're supposed to fulfill. Maybe you don't know what it looks like or how it's going to show up or not necessarily what you're supposed to do, but there's something inside you. There's a deep desire that you can't deny or escape from, which a lot of us try to escape. When you feel you have a calling on your life, a lot of people, you know, just find escapism to avoid it because you go all in. A lot of people are afraid to go all in. I'll tell you, go all in. It's amazing to live your life with that divine purpose of why you're here.
Hmm.
And so for me, it is to help people with love in their life. It is to help people know who they are and they're magnificent. It is to help people, you know, create new brain patterns that really do match who they are on the inside.
I love that. Go all in.
Yep.
So true. And so often we don't. Guilty myself. Yep. What piece of productivity advice can you give the audience? How can we be more effective in our day-to-day life?
There is, you know how they talk about the physical biorhythms? Our bodies, you know, have times that they're more alert, you know, that physical body. Okay. Well, your mind is the same way. You have times that you will be more analytical and times that you'll be more creative and times that you just need, you know, nothing, right? You just need to relax your mind. So I would do the work, and it always comes, always an inside job. You know, it's going to be different for every person, but there are certain times of day I do my writing. There are certain times of day I deal with clients. There are certain times of day where I'm more analytical and I've got to do some of the paperwork, right? So find out what your mental biorhythm is, and it will be much more natural to accomplish what you're looking to achieve if you block your time based upon your mental biorhythms.
Okay, I like that. And it's so true. I try to do that myself. And it seems to work. Okay. What's your favorite food?
Well, it's spaghetti and meatballs. I mean, hands down, I learned, I'm a figurino for crying out loud. Yeah. I mean, I had it at my wedding even. I learned how to roll meatballs. This is a true story. God be my witness. I learned how to roll meatballs before I could ride a 2-wheel bike because I'm a figurino.
Nice. I like it. Favorite leisure activity?
Rock climbing.
Rock climbing. Have you got rock a favorite climbing. Book or one that you're reading right now that might be?
Yes. The Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. It is a very, very big book. It's, I don't know, 700 pages or something. And it's a study, but it is about the science of the mind and the connection between that and your life and the power that you have to create that of which you want to experience.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one. I'd like to stick that on my reading list too.
Yes. I highly recommend it.
Have you got a favorite quote?
With God, all things are possible.
And what does, do you think we all have a why?
Absolutely. A lot of people don't know they have it, though. They haven't been awakened to know that they have a why. And they're just going through the drudgery of everyday life. They haven't listened to the tap on the shoulder.
Right. So how do we listen to the tap on the shoulder? Be aware?
Be aware. Pay attention. Ask the questions.
Yeah.
Ask.
Okay. And what does living life with passion and purpose mean to you?
Well, it's living this purpose. It's, you know, for me, it's giving. For me, living with passion and purpose is to help my fellow mankind. And in that, I receive a gift of what I receive when I'm helping others is more than I could give, right? I mean, the joy of being in alignment with that has brought meaning to my life. And, you know, I will do this until I'm in the next life.
Very well said. I love it, and I love your energy. I loved chatting with you today. There's so much more we could certainly go into, and perhaps we'll have to have a round two sometime.
I would love that.
You're writing a book at the moment, are you?
Yes, I'm writing 3 books at the moment. I've got historically ADD. I can't read one at a time, and I can't write one at a time. Uh-huh. Yeah, but I've got a new one coming out, Miraculous Mindsets, Create a Life That'll Blow Your Mind. And it's going to be this and much more. And I'm in the process of putting that together, so I'm super excited, and I'm going to pour my heart and soul into it like I do my other writings. But this is going to be special because this is how I changed my life.
Okay. Yeah, well, you'll have to share it with us when it's released. And
absolutely.
Maybe we can have a chat again then. What is the best way for the audience to reach out to you?
I'm everywhere, you know. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm my website, teresavigorino.com, and hopefully you could put that spelling in the show notes so that they can reach me that way, or email me, teresa@teresavigorino.com.
Absolutely. Guys, I'll stick all that in the show notes, the links to Facebook, Twitter, and her website as well, so check out the notes at The Hidden Why, and make sure you reach out to her, leave your comments in the show notes, and enjoy this episode. Thank you, Teresa, very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And guys, thanks you for taking the time out to listen. I hope you've enjoyed it. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon. Have it, gang, another great episode here at the Hidden Wire podcast. I hope you've got some value out of it, some inspiration to really go on your journey and live life with greater passion and purpose. I would love to hear from you. Would love to hear your thoughts on this episode and all the episodes for that matter. Just go to thehiddenwire.com and leave your comments in the fields there under the show notes tabs. Guys, if you love the show, if you are looking for more purpose in your life, I'm just about to launch a pilot course. It's going to be called the Discover Your Why Personal Development Course. It's a 5-week course designed to help you define your life compass. Now, the life compass is made up of your dreams and your passions, your skills, your talents, your desires, your needs, and your core values. So I'll work with you individually and in a group to really define that so you can work more purposefully towards living a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. That's what the course is designed to achieve. If that sounds like you, perhaps you're at crossroads at the moment, you're in between careers or looking for that next adventure in life, then maybe it's for you. If you're looking for more meaning in life, perhaps it's something that you want to have a look in. If you're just wondering what your purpose is and still feel a little bit lost and confused to what all that means, then it might be for you. Guys, it will be a paid course. It's going to be very affordable for the pilot run. And whilst I'll be giving you some value for this pilot course, I'm going to be looking for feedback as well and input from all the members that join so that I can help craft the course and better sculpt the course for future attendees. So guys, if that sounds like you, the price will be no more than $200, maybe around the $100 mark, not too sure yet. But at this stage, I'm just looking for people that might be interested to set up a time for a quick chat to see if it is a fit. So if it sounds like you, reach out to me, type in the subject field, Discover Your Why course and your email address and details, and then we'll set up time to have a chat. My email address to send that to is thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. Nice and easy to remember, thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. Not for everyone, guys, but if it is, then reach out. Would love to chat and discuss with you what it's all about, see if it's a fit. Thanks, guys, and I hope you, again, enjoyed today's episode. I appreciate you tuning in time and time again and appreciate all your feedback. Thanks, guys. Talk soon. Peace, passion, purpose. Bye.